Well, Paul Alkire sang this morning at 8:30. He sang, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?" Have you heard that song? Anybody? It's an Alan Jackson song, and it's written about 9/11. And he asked me a week or so ago what I was preaching about today, and I said I really hadn't decided yet. Been nudged in any certain way. So he said he wanted to sing that song this morning because he was doing the special music. So I said, okay. And he did. And it led right into the sermon. I should have asked him to sing it at 11, but he would have probably not done it. He was really, really... It was pretty awesome this morning. And he didn't really want to do it. He wanted to back out and... But he didn't. So when he asked me about singing that song, he put me on this track of thinking about events. He said 9/11 was his Pearl Harbor. It was the biggest event in his life. It was, so far, it was the biggest event in his life because he obviously doesn't remember Pearl Harbor. Most of you probably don't either. But it got me, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but think about big things that have happened in the world that you remember where you were and when it happened. What are a few? Kennedy's assassination? Man on the moon? Okay, if you are here and you are too young to remember Kennedy's assassination, stand up right now. If you're too young to remember Kennedy's assassination. Okay, that's cool. Me too. I was one. Okay, you can sit back down. What a blessing. There are churches all across West Virginia that you could say that and nobody would stand up. Because everybody in the congregation is old enough to remember when Kennedy was assassinated, and that's been over 50 years, right? Yeah. Cool. So Kennedy's assassination, man on the moon, I heard. Challenger explosion. Challenger, go at throttle up. Who else? Anything you... Well, you don't remember World War II, right? Things that you remember. What was... Oh, Princess Diana. My phone accidentally got turned on. Vietnam. You know, I remember where I was when John Lennon was shot. It was 1980. I was in my college dorm room and came across the radio. We used to listen to the radio. We didn't have iPods and XM radio. And it came across the radio about John Lennon getting shot, and I was in my dorm room at WVU. Well, all of the stories that I have been covering in the 15 great Bible stories have all been stories that have happened. It's usually hard to tell a story that hasn't happened yet, right? There's this guy and he was, you know, wait a second, that hasn't happened yet. It's like Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. That's redundant, you know. Deja vu means, never mind. I'm going to tell you a story today. We're going to just talk a little bit out of Revelation, just for a few minutes, about a story that hasn't happened yet. But somebody was given a glimpse of what's going to happen. I want to start with telling you, no matter what the biggest event is in your life, I had this in my sermon, and then I thought, well, the biggest event in the history of the world, I said, was What do you think I'm going to say? Jesus. The biggest event in the history of the world. And then as I was getting ready to say that this morning at 8:30, I thought, well, God saying, let there be light. That was pretty big. The creation of the world and the universe and the earth, that may be the biggest event, because without that, we're not here. But barring the creation of the earth, the biggest event in human history is Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. And people who don't believe in Christ, they want to erase that from history. And just to give you an example, our calendar is based on Jesus. B.C. is before Christ, and A.D. Is two Greek words that mean, there's a little phrase, A.D., whatever it is. What is it, Logan? That's okay. It doesn't mean after death. Yes? Okay. Dominoes. Is that? It's two words that they said. It doesn't mean after death. So it means there's a phrase, it's in the year of our Lord. So this is 2014 AD. It's 2014 in the year of our Lord. There, even in seminary, I had a class, and they made me write CE and BCE. They're wanting to change BC and AD. Did you know that? They do. They want to get rid of, because BC and AD, it's about Jesus. And so they want to say CE, we're living in CE right now, which is common era, and BCE, before Jesus, but they're saying BCE is before common era. So they're calling this, since Jesus, the common era, and before Jesus, BCE, the before common era. You can't get rid of Jesus. The truth is, he was born, he was a person, it's not just the Bible, but there's historical documents Josephus wrote, different people wrote about Jesus. And so, Jesus really existed, he really was crucified, and there's debate, some people want to deny that he really rose from the dead, but how in the world, 2,000 years later, are we still worshiping this one who rose from the dead, that we're all fools if he didn't? I believe he lived, he was born, he lived, and he died, and he rose again, and he ascended to the Father. Biggest event in history. And there's another big event coming in the future. And that's what Revelation sort of gives us a peek into. There is the Apostle Paul. He says in 2 Corinthians, I think, that he gets called up into the third heaven. Anybody ever heard that phrase? He gets called up into the third heaven. We don't know what that means. And some theologians think first heaven is the atmosphere, the air we breathe. Second, we don't know what it means, but here's a logical explanation. Second heaven would be, like we call that the heavens, right? Second heaven would be the universe, the galaxy, space. And third heaven would be what we think of as heaven with Jesus. So that's one explanation for that, possible explanation. But Paul says he got called up into the third heaven, but guess what? It's a secret. Can't tell you. He says, but I'm not allowed to say what happened. Well, in Revelation, it's written by a guy named John. It's not called Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Jesus revealed this to John, and he said, write this down. As a matter of fact, Revelation is the only book in the Bible that says that you are going to be blessed just by reading this book. So he gets called up. Now, can you imagine trying to write down something that everything that we want to try to describe, we have a point of reference. So imagine you've never seen an airplane. It's never even crossed your mind that people could fly. And imagine if John had been called up and he sees this helicopter. And Jesus says, write this down. Jesus doesn't say, write down helicopter. He says, write down what you see. And he says, there was this flying thing and it had a face like a human. And it had like a scorpion tail. Do you see where, if he had no clue, do you see how that could be a helicopter? Or if there's fire falling from the sky, he's going, there's fire falling from the sky. Do you see how that could be rockets? Go ask Israel if fire's been falling from the sky. And they've been shooting them down. So John's writing this book, and he hasn't a clue what he's writing. He's saying, it looks like this. It's sort of like this. It's like this, because this is all I know what to tell you. I don't know the word helicopter. So let's go to the scripture. We're going to chapter 5. And chapter 4 and 5 in Revelation is pretty much understood that this is a view of what's going on in heaven. And it's not what's already happened in heaven. It's what's going to happen in heaven one day. So John says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Probably, you know, scrolls could be 30 foot long. Did you know that? A scroll back then could be 30 foot long. And probably when it said there's seven seals on the scroll, there's pictures, if you look up the internet, pictures of scroll with seven seals, it has like seven wax things all on the outside of the scroll. What I learned in seminary was that, and I heard David Jeremiah preach this too, that more than likely the seven seals were contained within the scroll. So there was a seal, you would break that seal, you would open it so far, and then there's another seal. And you would break that seal and open it so far, and there's another seal. And that's probably what they're talking about here. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much. John says, I just cried. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. So who's he say? A lion. A lion has prevailed and he can do it. And so John says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us. Who are they singing to here? Jesus. They're singing to Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. There were a lot. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Just a couple things I want to touch on. And I want to play a music video. Not that we're going to dance or anything. There's this talk of the lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. Jesus is the lamb. Jesus is the lion. And what's going on here is, as you go through Revelation, the first couple chapters are letters to churches. I've studied those a lot. There's a lot of different opinions on that. There's a lot of opinions on the tribulation time and are Jesus followers going to be pulled out before the tribulation or go through some of the tribulation. There's some people who think Jesus followers are going to be pulled out, then you have 7 years of tribulation. There's others who think you go through half of it, then you're pulled out. And there's others who, post-tribulation it's called, who think Jesus followers are going to get pulled out after. You know what? I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. And I don't think I'm going to have to worry about it. You know, have you ever heard a preacher preach an apocalyptic message like, people get ready, Jesus is coming? You ever heard that? I don't like that kind of preaching. Is it true? Yes. But you know what you need to hear and I need to hear? You're going to die. You are going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Is that probably going to happen before Jesus comes back? I mean, do you know how long 95 years is? Do you know how long 70 years is? Ask someone who's 70. Does it go like that? Goes faster than that. You don't really need to be worried about Jesus coming back. And you're going, that's not very good preaching. No, you need to be worried about dying and going to face Him. That's what you need to be worried about. That's what I need to be worried about. You know, if we did a series on Revelation, it would probably bring in people who were just curious. But whatever He's trying to describe here, there is going to be hell on earth one day. It's going to be rough. And it's going to be Jesus. He's the one who's unleashing it. Right now, we are living in a time of grace. We are living in a time of forgiveness. Now, does grace get taken advantage of? Yeah, ask Eileen. Eileen is the one who decides, she's not here, she was at 9:30 church, but Eileen's the one who decides when someone sends me a message or calls me or calls my cell phone or leaves a message at the church, I need an electric bill paid. I've got a shut-off notice. Will you pay the electric bill? And I say, Eileen, and I send her a Facebook message. Here's the number. Here's the person. And she takes care of it. Ask her if grace gets taken advantage of. It absolutely does. There are people who are just, you know, if they can get 12 different places that would pay their electric bill one time a month, they never have to pay their electric bill. Grace gets taken advantage of. And nobody knows this more than the Lamb. Half-hearted followers, Jesus is my buddy, I am a friend of God, right? You ever heard that song? I am a friend of God, He calls me friend. Jesus is my homeboy. We are just taking for granted and taking advantage of this time of grace. What we need to be doing is going to others and saying, you know, you're going to die and you're going to face. I think we can take from this that you're either going to face, when you die, if you see a lamb, when you go before God, because what's going to happen is you're going to die. And I was with someone the other night, someone who's pretty sick, and I went to their house with another person, and we visited them, and And we did this chit-chat talk, you know, the obligatory small talk about the fire department, about the community, about this or that. And then it's like, okay, let's get down to why we're here. I didn't come here to cheer you up. I came here to ask you if you know what's, I said to the person, what's going to happen when you die? They said, well, I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, why are you going to go to heaven? What do you think they said? What do you think he said? Because I'm a good person. Do you ever go through, okay, here's what I want to say, but I better not say that. I wanted to say, I call bull. You ever heard that phrase? I call bull. I said, who decides if you're a good person? Well, I guess Jesus was. Okay, so you think in the perfect Son of God's eyes, who never sinned, never stole, never lied, never had an impure thought, you think he's going to look at me and say, I'm a good person. If good people could get to heaven, why did he have to come and die? You're going to die and you're going to face God. Believe it with all my heart. And if you get there and you see a lion, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think that's good. Do you think that's good? I want to see the Lamb. I want to see the Lamb of God. But one day, either he's going to come back here and you're still going to be alive, or you're going to die and you're going to go there and stand and be judged by him. And he's going to say, either enter my kingdom, I've got a mansion prepared for you, well done, good and faithful servant, you accepted my offer while you had the chance for the grace. Do you get this? Or he's going to say, help me out here. Depart from me. Depart from me, I never knew you. You make me sick. And Revelation, if you read on in Revelation, it says you'll be cast into a lake of fire. Some people like to say, well, there is no hell. You just die. You either go to heaven to be with God and Jesus, or you just die and you cease to exist. I don't know what the lake of fire means. John said it's something like a lake of fire and people get thrown in it. I don't know what else that could mean. Do you know what else that could mean? I don't know. I think there's heaven. I think there's hell. I think there's a lion. I think there's a lamb. Right now, we're living under a time of grace. And you know, the Pope said the other day that he went to a cemetery and prayed over 15,000 graves. For what? Tell me why the Pope goes and prays over 15,000 graves. He thinks that he can pray him into heaven. That's it. The Catholic Church, and I'm not bashing the Catholic Church here, they think that you can give money to the church and have special masses, and there's a waiting place that people are, and if we pray and if we give money, then we can get them into heaven. And I want to call bull. There is time right now that you make a decision. And there's a friend of mine who said, you know what convinced me when you were preaching? And I said, what's that? And he said, because you told this story about Satan's on one side of the fence and God's on the other side of the fence, and you want to ride the fence. And you think that you're okay as long as you don't choose Satan. And here's the problem. Satan owns the fence. It's Satan's fence. So when you're on the fence, you're his. It's not until you get off the fence and choose the Lamb and choose Christ that you're his. When you're on the fence, you're just as good as Satan's. There's a lion, there's a lamb, there's going to be hell on earth one day. I don't think that we're going to see it, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I know anybody who tells you the date that you can call bull, because Jesus said clearly in Matthew, who knows? Nobody. Jesus said, even while I'm here, he said, the Son of Man doesn't even know. Only the Father in heaven knows. Now, do I think Jesus knows now? I do, because Jesus is God. I think when he ascended, he got back everything that he gave up to come here to be human. And so the question for you is, while you're living under grace, while Jesus is willing to say, I forgive you, the lion, you know who he forgives? Nobody. The lamb, I forgive. The lamb says, I forgive those who killed me. You're going to die. The world is going to go on and you're going to die. And you're going to be standing before the God who created you. And he's going to ask you one question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he Savior or is he just your buddy? Were you just this close to receiving him and you never did? And I'll end with this illustration that a friend of mine preached one time. Harry the stunt driver was jumping over a bunch of cars on his motorcycle. And I don't remember how many cars it was, 20 cars. And you'd think he would get credit for jumping over 19 of them, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think? Do you think that he, how do you think it ended up? He got over 19 cars, but he didn't get over 20. Didn't end up well. It's no different than if you'd have just jumped one car. Matter of fact, you might be worse off. Because if you just jump one, you're a motorcycle guy. If you just jump one car, you're probably not going very fast, right? Like if you go 19, you're going pretty fast. And I'd say the crash would be worse. Some of us have been so close to Christ, and that's the most dangerous place to be. You spent your whole life in church. You never miss church, and you don't know Christ as Savior. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for warnings. Thank you so much that on this day that nobody in this room can leave this place thinking that you will judge them based on their works. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that because of him and only because of him, that we have the right to become and be called children of God. Your children. So God, I pray if there's one here today who wants to call you Lord and Savior and accept your grace, accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross. God, I pray if there's one here today, God, I pray you would make them yours. Pray that you have convinced them that they need Jesus. Pray that you will impress upon their heart that you will forgive their sin if they ask. So I pray that you would just right now hear them ask, Lord, forgive my sin. Cover my sin with the shed blood of Christ. Cleanse my heart. Make me new. Help me to walk in your way and live for you. Help me not to be lukewarm, half-hearted. Help me to make it obvious to everyone that I've been changed. And God, for those of us who are yours, and I'm sure that there's the majority of people here, God, I pray that you would accept our apology for not being who you would have us be. But we thank you, Lord, for your grace that we are living under, that you forgive us because of Jesus. And I pray you would send us out of here, Lord. Those of us who are truly yours, I pray you would send us out of here comforted and emboldened that we have nothing to fear in life or in death. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.